Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include: on the 21st anniversary of Falun Gong practitioners' April 25th peaceful appeal, renowned human rights lawyer, "We are suffering the consequences of turning a blind eye to China's human rights abuses." Taiwanese professor finds true happiness in Falun Dafa. Commemorating April 25th, contrasting attitudes toward Falun Gong on both sides of the Taiwan Strait. Sentenced for rescuing imprisoned husband, wife dies after prison abuse and harassment following release. And Missouri becomes first state to sue the Chinese Communist Party for its deceit and inaction that unleashed the pandemic. Now for the stories.
On the 21st anniversary of Falun Gong practitioners' April 25th peaceful appeal. On April 25th, 1999, a peaceful appeal in Beijing surprised the Chinese leadership and the international community when 10,000 Falun Gong practitioners gathered near the State Council Appeals Office to request the release of fellow practitioners who had been illegally arrested for their belief. The gathering was peaceful and without incident, and the Tianjin practitioners were released following the appeal. 3 months later, however, on July 20, 1999, Jiang Zemin, then head of the Chinese Communist Party, launched a nationwide persecution campaign against Falun Gong. The CCP is still persecuting Falun Gong practitioners 21 years later. Yet Falun Gong practitioners are not the only victims of the CCP's suppression of freedom of belief and freedom of speech in its attempt to rid whatever the party perceives as threats and to maintain power. The CCP's cover-up of coronavirus information has seen whistleblowers punished and has resulted in nearly 3 million people infected and close to 200,000 deaths worldwide. On the 21st anniversary of the April 25th peaceful appeal, it is important to realize that only by distancing ourselves from the CCP can we have our human rights restored and stay safe in the face of disasters. One would think the CCP would learn lessons from one man-made disaster to another, but time and time again it repeats the same mistakes in its handling of various crises. When politics overrides science and when political agendas supersede conscience, nothing will ever prevent the CCP from causing calamities again. The CCP has caused more than 100 million unnatural deaths in China since it took power several decades ago. Each time a political movement ends, the CCP finds an excuse or scapegoat to deflect blame. People then continue their wishful thinking, only to be struck by harsh reality again and again. Falun Gong practitioners appealed to the government 21 years ago for freedom of belief and speech. They are still standing strong today, calling for an end of the persecution. As China and the rest of the world are suffering tremendous damage from the CCP's cover-up of the coronavirus outbreak, it is imperative to have information transparency. To that end, we may want to take a cue from Falun Gong practitioners who have never stopped their quest for freedom of belief and freedom of speech. And now is the time to distance from the CCP in order to ensure our future's safety.
Renowned human rights lawyer, "We are suffering the consequences of turning a blind eye to China's human rights abuses." The coronavirus raged through the world in no time because the Chinese Communist Party deliberately hid crucial information from the world since the beginning. David Mattis, a human rights lawyer based in Canada, believes that this catastrophe, which has touched everyone and caused devastation in every corner of the world, could have been avoided. In a recent interview with a Minghui correspondent, Mr. Mattis said, "If the rest of the world had been more aggressive in combating all this misrepresentation and cover-up and denial and counterfactual narrative in dealing with organ transplant abuse if the global system had insisted on transparency and accountability in dealing with organ transplant abuse, and if China had faced global pressure for transparency and accountability in its health system in dealing with organ transplant abuse, we wouldn't have this coronavirus now. And we are suffering the consequences now of turning a blind eye to organ transplant abuse. Mr. Mattis was referring to the CCP's crime of harvesting organs from prisoners of conscience, the majority of whom have been Falun Gong practitioners. Mattis, with former Canadian Secretary of State for Asia-Pacific Region David Kilgore, carried out extensive investigations into allegations that the Chinese government has been actively involved in state-sanctioned organ harvesting from prisoners of conscience. Their findings were published in a major 2006 report titled Bloody Harvest, The Killing of Falun Gong for Their Organs. In 2016, Mattis, Kilgore, and journalist Ethan Gutman published Bloody Harvest, The Slaughter, An Update, based on their ongoing investigation into the CCP's organ harvesting atrocities. David Mattis believes that the fundamental problem is the CCP's lying nature. From the organ harvesting atrocities to the SARS outbreak, the CCP has never changed its lying behavior in its attempt to cover up its crimes and to make itself look good in the international community. There is no difference this time with the CCP virus outbreak, Mr. Mattis believes, which he said is just typical Chinese communist behavior in terms of how the virus originated, the way it spread, and how the CCP reacted to it. He said, I think we have got to be on the alert about the Chinese government health system, the Chinese government narrative, that we can't rely on their data, we can't rely on their pronouncements.
Taiwanese professor finds true happiness in Falun Dafa. Professor Chang Mei-Ying remembers wondering as a child, where do we come from? And what's our purpose in life? She later realized she could seek answers to her questions in books, and her father realized that the best gift to give her was books. Mei-Ying read countless books about everything, but each book increased her curiosity about the meaning of life. Mei-Ying felt more confused as she conducted scientific research during her university studies. In November 2009, Mei-Ying decided to read Juan Falun, the main book of Falun Dafa. Her neighbor had suggested she read the book 2 years before, but Mei-Ying had simply put the book on her bookshelf. After she finally started to read it, she regretted not picking it up sooner. I spent several hours reading it from cover to cover. All of my questions were answered, and I was amazed, she recalled. After reading Juan Falun, Mei-Ying's view of life and the world changed. All of her doubts about quantum mechanics were resolved, and she felt as if she understood everything. Mei-Ying had studied for several decades and obtained a doctorate degree, but she felt that these achievements paled in the comparison to just a small part of this book. She used to have a habit of buying a pile of books every month and reading them at night until she fell asleep. But for the first time in her life, she was not interested in reading any other books. She said, in fact, from that day forward, I never stopped reading Juan Falun. Mei-Ying applies the principles of Falun Dafa, truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, in her work and works hard and with a sense of responsibility. She is kind and sincere with her students. Her words and behavior have inspired her students to study diligently and her co-workers to work hard on their projects. Over the years, she has won an Outstanding Teaching Award, an Excellent Tutor Award, and multiple Industry and Academic Achievement Awards. She has also registered more than 10 invention patents. She said, "Falun Dafa has taught me to be selfless and considerate of others. What's interesting is my co-workers used to tell me I should concentrate on advancing in my career rather than practicing cultivation. But later on, they felt that they should learn Falun Dafa with me so that they could better guide their students in developing new innovations."
Commemorating April 25th, contrasting attitudes toward Falun Gong on both sides of the Taiwan Strait. Falun Gong was first publicly taught in China in May 1992. Many who took up the practice became much healthier, their moral values improved, and Falun Gong quickly spread all over China by word of mouth. On April 25, 1999, thousands of practitioners rushed to the State Council Appeals Office located near Zhongnanhai after learning that riot police in Tianjin had beaten and arrested practitioners. Practitioners from all over China came to peacefully appeal for the release of the 45 practitioners who were detained in Tianjin. The premier at that time received a group of practitioners and resolved the matter favorably. The incident ended that night and was later known as the April 25th Peaceful Appeal. The whole process was peaceful. No one shouted any slogans. People went there purely to explain to the government the facts about Falun Gong, with the hope that they could secure a safe environment to practice the meditation, and that certain government departments would stop mistreating practitioners. No one made a ruckus nor obstructed traffic. Many people who witnessed the appeal praised the group for their high moral values and saw hope for the future of China. The next day, newspapers in Taiwan reported the incident extensively. Many people began to search for Falun Gong practice sites in Taiwan. The logic for many Taiwanese people was, if the Chinese Communist Party says it is bad, then this must be good. Like bamboo shoots emerging after the rain in spring, a lot of people came to practice Falun Gong. 9-day introductory classes were held all over Taiwan, with an average of 70 attendees per class. Jealous of its popularity, former CCP head Jiang Zemin gave orders for the persecution of Falun Gong in July 1999. The regime concocted lies, such as the self-immolation on Tiananmen Square, to demonize the practice. Practitioners were tortured in many ways, including detention, brainwashing, beatings, electric shocks, injections with nerve-damaging drugs, and had their organs removed while they were conscious. The attitude towards the meditation practice is vastly different on both sides of the strait. What they hold in common is that good people on both sides of the strait sincerely hope that the persecution will end soon and hope that people in China will be able to practice Falun Dafa freely.
Sentenced for rescuing imprisoned husband, wife dies after prison abuse and harassment following release. Ms. Zhou Shi Yuzhen was arrested and sentenced while trying to secure the release of her husband, who had been sentenced to a 12-year prison term for practicing Falun Gong. While her husband, Mr. Bian Lichao, was still serving time, Ms. Zhao passed away on April 19, 2020, as a result of physical abuses in the prison and subsequent police harassment after she was released on medical parole in critical condition. Mr. Bian, a middle school teacher in Tangshan City, Hebei Province, was arrested on February 25, 2012, and later sentenced to a 12-year prison term for his faith. Only 3 months into his term at Shijiazhuang Prison, he became emaciated and developed high blood pressure. He also suffered a heart problem that the doctor said could result in his death at any time. Deeply worried about his condition, Ms. Zhao and their daughter frequented the local police station and many government agencies to seek justice for him, only to be arrested and targeted by the communist regime themselves. After separate hearings in August 2014 by two different courts, Ms. Zhao was sentenced to a 4-year prison term and their daughter to 3.5 years in April 2015. Both served time in Hebei Province Women's Prison. Ms. Zhao soon suffered ascites that was caused by a liver condition as a result of the abuses. After she was released on medical parole, she stayed at her sister's home in Langfang City, about 100 miles from Tangshan. The police followed her to Langfang and never stopped harassing her. Living with tremendous fear and pressure, Ms. Zhao's condition deteriorated further, and she was sent to the hospital for resuscitation several times. After she returned to her own home in Tangshan, the police kept harassing her and didn't allow her to seek medical treatment at better hospitals in Beijing. The continued persecution of the family left Ms. Zhao in constant distress. She never recovered and passed away on April 19, 2020.
Missouri becomes first state to sue the Chinese Communist Party for its deceit and inaction that unleashed the pandemic. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt filed a lawsuit on April 21, 2020, against the Chinese Communist Party for its appalling campaign of deceit, concealment, misfeasance, and inaction that unleashed this pandemic. It is the first state in the U.S. to take legal action to hold the CCP accountable for the pandemic. The lawsuit stated, during the initial weeks of the initial outbreak, Chinese authorities deceived the public, suppressed crucial information, arrested whistleblowers, denied human-to-human transmission in the face of mounting evidence, destroyed critical medical research, permitted millions of people to be exposed to the virus, and even hoarded personal protective equipment, thus causing a global pandemic that was unnecessary and preventable. The state attorney general said in a statement, "In Missouri, the impact of the virus is very real. Thousands have been infected, and many have died. Families have been separated from dying loved ones. Small businesses are shuttering their doors, and those living paycheck to paycheck are struggling to put food on their table. But Missouri isn't alone, as the virus has left no community in the world untouched." Missouri officials were quoted as saying, "In addition to extracting as large a financial judgment out of China as it can, Missouri is looking to hold the Chinese government officially accountable for its alleged actions to exacerbate the coronavirus pandemic and potentially bring further facts about how the Chinese government handled the virus and possibly about the virus's origin to light." Just one day before the Missouri lawsuit, 22 congressmen sent a letter to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Attorney General William Barr, urging them to bring a case against China to the International Court of Justice for its actions during the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.